deze vroege zondagmorgen op dit vroege tijdstip. Iedereen van harte welkom bij Hour of Power. Een uitzending die zoveel mensen wereldwijd inspireert. En ik hoop u en jou vanmorgen ook. We hebben bijzondere gasten in de Crystal Cathedral. Dwight Alexander, die vertelt hoe een dodelijk ongeluk zijn leven veranderde en hoe hij daar hoop en kracht uit put. Dominee Schulle praat over het symbool van het christendom, het kruis. En als gast bij Hour of Power Nederland, professor Dr. Van Beers. Hij doet geweldige dingen met de kennis die hij heeft opgedaan als professor en hoogleraar in de ontwikkelingseconomie. Kortom, een geweldige zondagmorgen met veel muziek ook vanuit de Crystal Cathedral.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 37th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
Good morning, and welcome to the Crystal Cathedral. That was a pretty weak good morning. Can we try that again? Good morning. Oh, that feels so much better, doesn't it? Yeah, to be able to feel the Holy Spirit of God and His breath of life going through our lungs and our voices and allowing us to speak. And so would you please welcome all of those standing next to you and behind you and say, God loves you and so do I. My father is with us this morning. That would be Dr. Robert Harold Schuller. And he's going to be interviewing Dwight Alexander, who is here to share his inspiring story of faith in the midst of a deadly crisis. We have music by Christian recording trio 33 Mile. We have the Crystal Cathedral High School soloist Daniel McGrew, who's going to be joined by the Crystal Cathedral Academy Chorus. We have Don Nguyen and the Crystal Cathedral Choir. We have Sean Groobridge at the magnificent Hazel Wright organ. And, of course, Mark Riley and the fantastic Hour of Power Orchestra. We know that this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you are doing this very moment, bringing strength to a fragile world. And so as we trust in you and we rest in your arms, we know that you're holding us. And so we thank you, Lord. Amen.
You may be seated. Listen to the scripture. It's read from 1 Peter chapter 1, where he declares that God is our Heavenly Father and the Father of all of us. Because some of you come here with unhappy memories of a father, let this inspire you. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and into an experience that can never perish, and into an inheritance kept in heaven for you, who through faith is shielded by God's power. Hear those words. Shielded by faith through God's power. In this we greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. Though you have not seen God, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith. May God add his blessing to the reading of this, his special word and message to us. For the first time, all the way from Nashville, an exciting new band, 33 Miles. They're made up of three uniquely gifted singers and songwriters, Jason, Chris, and Colin. And they want their example in their life and music to be like Christ. Yes, 33 years Christ lived, and their goal is that their miles will be full of purpose and meaning to make a positive difference in the world. So welcome them as they come to sing 33 Miles.
That superhero to fly right in and somehow save the day. And I have always wanted to be more than I could be, but seem to fall and somehow lose my way. But the day your love stepped in was the day my life began. 'Cause you make me shine, you make me soar, you make me everything I never was and so much more. You give me strength, you let me stand, and I don't have to move a mountain, but I know I can, 'cause you make me the best man. Yeah. Even through my weakness, you know who I am, and you give me amazing grace that I don't understand. There are no words that could ever describe the glory of the beauty of you in my life, because you gave your love to me.
'Cause you gave your love to me.
Well, I'm the best that I. By your side.
We had a special guest this morning, well, we always do, with Dwight Alexander is a phenomenal story. He was happily married for 15 years and proud father of two wonderful sons, Grant and Colin. And unexpectedly, his life was tragically altered when his wife and two sons were involved in a deadly car crash, killing his wife and leaving the two young sons barely alive. Dwight's captured his family story. I have a copy of his book here, and I hope you go out and order it or buy it here in our bookstore. And nothing is more hurtful than when you are asked to carry the cross of the loss of your beloved wife and the tragic injury of your surviving sons. So here's the book, Through These Doors. Please welcome with me Dwight Alexander from Texas. Tell us about that day.
Well, I was in an audience very similar to this, a large auditorium. I was sitting there, and there was an announcement from the podium that said, there's an emergency phone call for Dwight Alexander. My first thought was, there must be another Dwight Alexander. Because, you know, for some reason, we always think, we're exempt. It won't happen to me. But that day was the phone call from my mom, and I remember it vividly, that said, Dwight, you just need to come home as quickly as possible. All she knew at that point was the family had just been in a bad car accident. But God just provided a plane. And some close friends that own a corporation in our small town sent their pilot to pick me up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And within a two-hour period, I was in Tyler, Texas.
Wow. When did you first get the precise word? At the hospital or?
Just before I boarded the plane, my sister's pastor told me on the phone, he said, I hate to tell you this, but your wife did not survive the crash.
What?
And at that point, I knew if it was that bad, what kind of condition was my two boys in at that time. And then I just anticipated the arrival in Tyler, and then to learn that they had been taken by helicopter to two different hospitals. And both of them's condition was so unstable, the first 24 hours was just depend on God, because there was nowhere else to turn except placing those boys in God's hands and in some incredible doctors that God had put there for us at that time. If I was going to be what God wanted me to be as a dad, I had to be strong. And I had to face the challenges and accept the days. And we learned to live a minute at a time, a day at a time, a month at a time in the future to get them through the different rehabs. Grant relearned to walk, relearned to talk. Colin still had some scars, but today they're fine.
Your one son was not able to talk for a while. Is that true?
Well, the first words from the doctor was, he'll be in a nursing home the rest of his life. And I refused to believe that. They always tell you the most horrible condition. They want you to know the worst possible scenario. But I refuse to believe that. And I believe that God put in my heart to not accept that. And I never did. And that's today he walks, he talks. He has a few limitations. But compared to where he was supposed to be and where God has taken him to today, it's just no comparison if we just trust.
Fantastic. Tell me, when did you write this book? It's last year?
It was just released in January of this year.
It reads so fresh.
We wrote this book because so many people gave us books from therapists and doctors about what to expect, but none of the books were from people who had experienced. And I wanted people to be able to take that one little seed of hope they had in their heart and to be able to cultivate it and let it grow, and to through a true experience, hopefully to motivate them, whether it was a divorce they were going through or if they were sitting in a trauma ICU room.
Wow. Tell me, if you look back on it now a few years later, What was the most difficult experience you had to go through?
Well, as I mentioned, it was devastating to learn that my wife was gone. But I think the night that Grant was faced with swelling of the brain, that the doctors gave very little hope,
really?
And making a decision, that's when I realized the power of prayer and how that God would get me through that. And I had nowhere else to turn except to Him. And God brought him through that without another surgery. And God dropped those pressures in his brain, and it was just a miracle.
You said something that I heard about when I heard about you, what you were going through. You were quoted as saying, "I'm not giving up my two sons. We're going to keep them. We're not going to let them die. We're going to pray them through." Very, very positive. Is that true?
That is true. You know, we always felt like those boys were gifts from God, as all of our children are. But there was no way, as long as there was a breath of hope, and that's what I want other people to understand, as long as there's a breath of hope, keep trusting and keep praying. And no, I wasn't going to give up. I wasn't going to let a negative word be spoken about that.
How has your trust in God remained through such terrific tragedy?
My trust in God has grown. And my challenge always is that what about those people that do not know my God to trust? I can't imagine going through something like this without God in my life and having Him there to sustain me, to give me that peace, to wrap His arms around me at night when I feel lonely, and to bring my boys to answer the prayers because He's there. I just need to tap into Him. And so my God is just bigger now than He ever was.
Best. Look at His face. If they can get an ECU. Yeah, get an extra photo. Yeah, look. I don't know what camera's looking at you, but look at that face. Strength. Deep from His heart. You're a wonderful Christian.
Thank you.
And well, so many people prayed for you. The whole town prayed for you.
The whole town.
Gee. And how God answered the prayer. Tell us how He answered. You have a new family.
He did. You know, as we look back, I remember the story of Job. And he became so alive in my life. He became that special character to me that he had never been before. And I remembered as Job was stripped of his family. If he could do that for Job, he could do that for Dwight. And today, as we speak to groups and we tell them, look, God restored me. But not only that, He brought an incredible lady into my life that had lost her husband in a motorcycle accident. She had three children, and we became the modern-day Brady Bunch. Almost 6 years ago, we married.
Is she here?
She is here. I can't
stand
go anywhere without her.
Stand up if you're sitting in the church this hour. Yes.
There she is.
Got a picture. Yes. Thank you.
She is a blessing,
yeah.
As well as her children. And we became that modern-day family that so many people experience today. And we call it a blended family, but you know, God's in the center of that family, and we feel that's so important.
It's fantastic what your strong faith has done for you. It's phenomenal. If you have a moment before you leave the campus, take a look at the statue of Job. It's right down, it's in white marble. I picked four verses from him to put around his base. In the front one, I want to read from my memory for you. It is, Job said, "When He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Wow. Listen, I have a gift for you. It's very precious. It's very beautiful. It's a solid, sparkling crystal cross.
Wow.
A cross is something that we have to accept. People say God gives it to us. Maybe He does. But we are expected to turn the hurt into a halo and the pain into gain and scars into stars. I've never had anybody that's done that better than you. And this is a genuine crystal facet cross, and it says, God loves you.
Wow.
And so do I. So every time you see the cross, you'll remember God loves you. And
absolutely.
He's proven it to you.
Absolutely.
And dear God, thank you for how you touched him, helped him, healed him, and his children. Amen.
Thank you.
You know what? A lot of fathers have gone through hurts. Very few as deeply as yours. but you've ministered to them today. Thank you.
Thank you
for your ministry.
Praise God.
Don't be afraid, you'll make it through. Just call out to me and I'll come running to you. And hold on, hold on. When the current pulls you under and your heart beats like thunder, just give me your hand and hold on. And I'll be fighting for you. Just give me your head. Hold on. I'll give you hope, I'll give you faith. If it's dark, I'll light the way for you. For you. Side until the end, until you stand and tall again. I'm here, I'll always be here,
always be here.
And if the tide sweeps you out to sea, when your strength is gone and it's hard to believe, hold.
Power organiseert dit jaar 7 kerstconcerten en heeft een sfeervol programma voor u samengesteld, waarin de geboorte van Jezus centraal staat. U kunt genieten van de ontmoeting met elkaar en de prachtige muziek die verzorgd wordt door een keur van absolute topartiesten. De Amerikaanse tenor Daniel Rodriguez maakte vorig jaar grote indruk met zijn warme stemgeluid en treedt ook dit jaar op. Ook Jan Mulder, de bekende pianist, verleent zijn medewerking aan onze kerstconcerten. Hij leidt een geweldig orkest en een groot koor. Bovendien zal de meidengroep Excess optreden tijdens onze kerstconcerten, verspreid door het hele land. Het beloven 7 onvergetelijke avonden te worden die we graag met u willen beleven. Dinsdag 11 december zijn we in de Grote Kerk in Naarden. 13 december de Meervaart in Amsterdam. En vrijdag 14 december zijn we in Apeldoorn. Zaterdag 15 december in Roermond. Maandag 17 december in de Pieterskerk in Leiden. 18 december de Battle in Drachten. En het slotconcert op woensdag 19 december in de Laurenskerk in Rotterdam. De deuren gaan open om 7 uur en de concerten beginnen om 7:45. U kunt uw plaatsen het snelst reserveren via www.hourofpower.nl. Of bel met ons kantoor om een bestelkaart aan te vragen. 035 538 0588.
Onze gast van vanmorgen is professor Dr. Van Beers. Die is er ook heel ver vandaan geboren in Indonesië. Heeft de ellende van de Japanse bezetting in Indonesië overleefd. En is nu professor in de economie. En nog wel de ontwikkelingseconomie. Is een bezige bij op zijn 75-jarige leeftijd. Gustaf, goedemorgen. Welkom dat je hier bent.
Goedemorgen, Jan.
Ik zei net, je hebt ook ellende in je jonge leven meegemaakt. De Japanse bezetting, dat speelt nu weer. Veel Nederlandse vrouwen hebben daarmee te maken. Hoe heb jij dat meegemaakt?
Ja, dat was wel een bewogen tijd voor ons. Dat plotseling, totaal onverwacht, je hele wereld is omgedraaid. Hè? Dat is erg moeilijk natuurlijk om dat te verwerken.
Ja. Gustaf, je bent professor in de ontwikkelingseconomie. Betekent dat je je met name wilt inzetten voor de derde wereld?
Nou, ik heb altijd me bezig gehouden met mijn verleden. Het koloniale verleden, waar we het zo goed hadden. Terwijl we eigenlijk woonden in een omgeving van veel armoede. En het was niet voor niets dat wij uit Indonesië werden gegooid. Want de Indonesiërs die waren maar al te blij eigenlijk dat wij vertrokken. Want ze waren onderdrukt door de Nederlanders. En ik had altijd het gevoel van, ik probeer de situatie te corrigeren door zelf weer aan de armoedebestrijding te werken.
Je bent bevriend met de top van het Nederlandse zakenleven. En dat doe je met één doel voor ogen. Om deze mensen te betrekken bij goede doelen. Je bent zelf voorzitter van onder andere Mercy Ships. Een geweldig initiatief. Het is een schip wat rond de kust van Afrika vaart om mensen te helpen. Honderden vrijwilligers aan boord. Ik vind het fantastisch, maar vertel het zelf. Mercy Ships.
Nou, met Mercy Ships en onze ongeveer 500 vrijwilligers proberen wij zoveel mogelijk mensen in Afrika te helpen. Maar straks, als we meer schepen hebben, ook elders in de wereld. En wat zo boeiend is, iedereen is daar zo vreselijk enthousiast. En dat is een heerlijk gevoel om zo te werken.
Want het is heel bijzonder, 500 vrijwilligers, van chirurgen tot machinisten, van de kapitein tot jongste bedienden, ja. Krijgen geen salaris, zorgen voor hun eigen support en gaan dan mensen helpen die nooit een ziekenhuis kunnen betalen of zelfs kunnen zien.
Ja.
En ze worden aan boord geopereerd.
Als je dan in die landen bent en ziet die honderden mensen die hulp vragen bij ons in de rij wachten voor hulp. En die moeten allemaal gescreend worden door artsen. Mensen met geweldige gezwellen, open verhemeltes. Geweldige rampen werkelijk die je hier nooit ziet. Die helpen wij allemaal en allemaal kosteloos.
Ja. En waarom?
Nou ja, omdat wij vinden, het is een christelijke organisatie, dat we allemaal proberen het voorbeeld van Jezus te volgen. Je helpt en je stelt geen vragen. De enige vraag die we ons stellen, is deze persoon operable? Kunnen we die opereren? Kunnen we die echt helpen? En het is heel erg als we die niet kunnen helpen. En het komt wel eens voor. Wij bouwen ook bruggen tussen de islamwereld en de christenwereld. En dat heeft heel veel succes gehad. Want er zijn nou moela's die zeggen, nou, we moeten meer met de christenen samenwerken. En dat vind ik een geweldige bijdrage. Het is dus niet alleen maar medische hulp of hulp in de landen zelf. Kleine landbouwprojects, wat maar ook. Wij doen eigenlijk van alles. Maar dat we ook bruggen bouwen tussen de grote conflictgebieden. En dat vind ik heel bijzonder.
Je bent regelmatig in Nederland, maar je woont in het mooie, zonnige Zuid-Frankrijk. Daar kijk je elke zondagmorgen naar Hour of Power, naar dat mooie gebruinde gelaat. Wat betekent Hour of Power voor je?
Verrijkend. Het geeft mij iedere keer weer veel inhoud in het leven. Dat je zegt, ja, dat is het toch. De interviews die in de christelijke theater gehouden worden met mensen die vanuit grote problemen het licht weer zagen, met energie het leven in kunnen gaan, en de mensen die jij interviewt, dat je zegt, nou, het is geweldig. Want wij horen zoveel over de problemen in de wereld, maar dit is het positieve waar we naar moeten streven. Ik vind het geweldig.
Goed om te horen. Nou, ik heb ook een positief geschenk voor je, 365 dagen lang. Ik hoop dat je er veel in zult lezen. Er staan prachtige verhalen in van Dominee Schuller. Inspiratie en motivatie voor elke dag.
Dank je hartelijk.
Gustav, ongelooflijk fijn dat je hier was. Goede reis terug naar Zuid-Frankrijk. En veel zegen met alle projecten die je hebt. Je inzet voor de Papua's, voor Merseyships. Geweldig.
Dank je.
75 jaar, jong en strong. Wij gaan terug naar de christelijke theater waar Daniel McGraw. Ik ken hem als dat kleine jongetje wat soms solo zong in het koor. Is inmiddels een volwassen tiener geworden. Nu het prachtige Sanctus zingt.
In earth and heaven there is none like you. Unworthy to ascend your throne and rule.
Sanctus, Sanctus.
Righteous and mighty King, saints and angels join to sing.
Sanctus, Sanctus.
Rex tremendous. Rex excelsis gloria, gloria, sanctus. Savior, you're the perfect, spotless Lamb.
Sanctus, sanctus.
My every breath is given by your hand. Rex tremende majestatis, Rex excelsis gloria, gloria sanctus.
Thank you, Daniel McGruen. Thank you, all of the
7 young men that back you up so great. You're terrific. Love you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Mark, orchestra. Well, I have been talking about the power of the cross for the last few times I've been here. And one of the things I want to do today is to give you a little history of the cross in the Crystal Cathedral. Some of you may not realize that one of the very first things my father built when he got to California was a cross. And he did that because he knew he was going to be standing on top of a snack bar rooftop, and he wanted some kind of a background, so there it is. That's the very first thing he built in Southern California, It was that cross which stood on top of the snack bar rooftop of the North Drive-In Theater. Then he got a little more elaborate, and he built one with a little more background to it, and put some. And for Easter, they put some calla lilies all over it. And for years, we covered the crosses here in the Crystal Cathedral with calla lilies. It wasn't long after that that they moved and built a church. Actually, they had two services. We would have two services here, one here. And my father designed the very first church, which was up by Brookhurst. That was his first architectural landmark. However, when we moved from the drive-in across the street onto this property, he took that cross with him. And here it is, a picture of that cross that was on top of the snack bar rooftop. They moved in the parking lot, and it was in the parking lot of, and because we held our drive-in theater in the parking lot while that building was being built. That building was built by Richard Neutra, and you'll notice that the cross is in front of the old bell tower, and you can still see some of the bell towers that remain there in the old building. And following that, it appears as though that cross was simply lifted up and placed on top of the Tower of Hope. Doesn't it look like that? But it's actually a much beefier and bigger cross than was down below. And today we still have a cross inside the Crystal Cathedral, and we had one in the Arboretum. And the cross has always been a very central theme of this ministry since the very beginning. We haven't had a worship center without also having a symbol of our faith, the symbol of the cross. The cross. And why? I believe the cross answers three of the most nagging questions that every human being struggles with. Three questions are, who am I? Where am I headed? And is all of this really have meaning? The three nagging questions. And the cross of Jesus Christ answers these questions. It tells us who we are. And in Peter's letter, we read these words. It says, He himself, Jesus Christ, bore our sins in his body on the cross. Why? So that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. As I've read through all of these various perceptions that people have of the cross, over and over again, people say the cross is the sign and the symbol of my salvation. It is God reaching out to me. It is the cross that bridges the gap between the chasms, as one gentleman said in his definition of the cross. And the chasm is humanity and our sin, and God and his holiness. And the cross becomes the bridge across that chasm so that we as sinful human beings, in our failures, in our failure to identify who we are, in our failure to identify why we go through what we go through, in our failure to understand the meaning of it all, as we wrestle with those three nagging questions, the cross becomes the bridge from sin and death to life and resurrection. Many people have crosses with Jesus Christ hanging on them, known as a crucifix. I have one in my house. It's a beautiful cross. In fact, maybe I'll bring it next week and share it with you. It's a beautiful piece. And one of the things that you may recognize is that every single one of our crosses here at the Crystal Cathedral is an empty cross. It does not have Jesus Christ hanging on it. And the reason Jesus Christ doesn't hang on our crosses is because we believe, even though he died for our sins, the fact is that he came down from the cross. He's not on there anymore. He rose from the grave. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He was victorious. And the cross, symbol of the cross is a sign of victory. The cross begins with our guilt. our failure, but it continues with God's grace. One gentleman as I read through these definitions of what they believe the cross is, was a gentleman by the name of Troy. And Troy said, "The cross is the first letter in my name. And as a result of it, it is part of me. And I walk with Jesus all the time." Another woman by the name of Hope said that her grandmother died 5 years ago. And 3 months later, she was flipping through the channels and she saw The Hour of Power. And she said, "I knew that my grandma wanted me to watch it. And so I stopped and I started watching The Hour of Power." And she said, "When I first started watching, I had alcohol problems. I was depressed. I couldn't express myself." She says, "Now I am optimistic. I'm a happy person who believes in Jesus Christ. And last year, I got baptized. And now I know I'm not alone and that Jesus will always be with me and that he's with my family and my friends. And that's why I want to let you know that this is what the cross means to me." The cross is a positive, powerful symbol of grace. In Corinthians, we read these words: "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who have been saved, it is the power of God." The cross is the power of God that has the ability to bring us into his loving arms of grace and hope and beauty and freedom. We have been saved through the cross, through the grace of Jesus Christ. From our grace, we come to a point of thanksgiving. Because our grace is not a license, and it is not a freedom to sin, but it is a license and a freedom from sin. And there's a dramatic difference. One of the biggest criticisms that other religions have about the Christian faith is that our understanding of grace and our forgiveness is a license to sin. But I believe that grace is a license and freedom from sin, so that we might have the ability and the strength to carry on and be the people that God has called us to be, to move forward victoriously with an attitude and an understanding and a realization that God is at work within our lives, that what we do has meaning and purpose, that we can succeed and be the human beings that God has called us to be. And as such, we live with gratitude, doing the things that God has called us to do. One of the worst tragedies in the history of the Great Lakes was the sinking of the Lady Elgin. It took place on September 8th in 1860. It was a magnificent vessel that was a paddle boat, actually, and it was traveling from Chicago up to Wisconsin. And unfortunately, there was a collision with another boat. And the collision put a hole in the side of this boat, which was irreparable. And they started making their way to shore, but unfortunately, they couldn't get there. And before they got there, nearly 700 people perished. But it was amazing how different stories emerged as a few survivors managed to find their way to shore. And as they did, the news got out that there were people who were trying to make their way back to shore who were drowning and perishing. And one young man was actually a swimmer at Northwestern University. And he heard about the events and he ran out there. And he went and he started swimming miles out to rescue people. He would swim out a mile, grab someone, haul them back to shore. And he would turn around and he would do it again. In fact, they say that he saved 18 people that day. He stopped at 18, even though there were more people to save, because he was so exhausted, he was delirious. And he was known to have been laying on the beach, beaten by the rocks and the waves, saying to himself, I think I could have gotten one more. I think I could have gotten one more. Well, that gentleman, from that day forward, never walked again. We don't know why. I don't have the history. But we do know that he never recuperated from his exhaustion from saving those 18 people. He sacrificed his legs and his life for 18 individuals he had never met before. And after saving all 18 of these people, he spent the rest of his life in a wheelchair. And at the age of 83, he passed away. And one of the closing comments when he was interviewed once about saving all those people, in fact, you can go to Northwestern University, and there's a plaque in the gymnasium to this man. He went and started, helped establish a life-saving program there. His name is Edward Spencer. And he said, one of the most interesting things about that day and about the events that have taken place since then is that of the 18 people I saved, not a single one ever said thank you. And today we see the cross of Jesus Christ. It's a symbol of his sacrifice for us, where he made incredible sacrifices so that anybody who will call upon his name, he'll reach out and embrace and invite them to his home and prepare a table for us forever. And all he wants is a thank you. We say thank you by giving our lives to him. Who are we without the cross of Jesus Christ? I don't know. What's our role and purpose for living without the cross of Jesus Christ? I don't know. Where am I headed, and is there any meaning to all of this in life? Without the cross of Jesus Christ, I don't know. The cross of Jesus Christ is a symbol of grace. It is a symbol of gratitude. And such we live. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you just continue to touch human lives with the power of your cross. That you overshadow our lives from every angle. That shadow is here to bring hope and victory. Good news. And strength. And so we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. And we praise your name always and forever. Amen. And now may the power of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, allow his cross to overshadow your life with grace and love and peace. And may his power fill every fiber of your being with hope.
En met deze indrukwekkende preek van dominee Schuller over het kruis, het symbool van het christendom en een geweldig symbool, sluiten we deze uitzending van Hour of Power af. Dat is het geweldig om zo'n uur lang geïnspireerd te worden. En we willen het bijzonder groeten onze kijkers in Noord-Brabant en Limburg. We krijgen daar heel veel reacties vandaan en vinden het bijzonder fijn dat juist ook u naar deze uitzendingen kijkt. En als ik het toch over kijkers heb, dan wil ik ook graag onze donateurs bedanken die elke week weer mogelijk maken dat we kunnen uitzenden. Dat vinden we echt geweldig. Wat ons betreft een hele goede zondag, een hele fijne werkweek en graag tot volgende week bij Hour of Power.